Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
We are officially on the air.
WJESUS.
Yes, it is. Well, this morning I was thinking another bang, but I could feel when Speed begun to talk that maybe we need to do something a little different. And please stop and ask me questions. David and Trish, when you hit a stump in your mind, we'll talk about it, because all of us hit those. I mean, just be open and free, or any of us, if things need discussing. I think that is the most beautiful, unusual thing that God has said here. We can just share it. After listening to some of the CDs, it took me 2 weeks not to go, but and I'm so glad y'all can't see the either hearing this CD. Anyway, I could hear the clearness, and the discussion is so beautiful from each one. Your voices are so clear. So I was going, yes, it's a good thing. I just don't see her anymore. That thing. I won't look at her. Anyway, we started off this morning with talking about making connections, which is so important as in our growth process, because those little sparks or tidbits that come to all of us because of a relationship with that divinity causes us to grow tremendously. And it makes it a beautiful path, too. Some of those songs we sang, you know, we create our world that we live in, and the great power that Father puts in your, the song said, it's in your hands. And I'm going, whew, well, that's a little scary. I'm thinking, how do I handle this the rest of my life, knowing that it is my choice, multiple choice. Anyway, the thing that I feel that is so needed in this hour for mankind, and most especially in the body, is identification. How do we connect with that and that heavens? All of us have an idea of heaven, and oh, it is so expanded. You know, we can't just fix it. We used to think it was a small city that wouldn't hold that many people. It was covered in gold. We hollered about going there. Oh my God. But we are there. I thought, man, that is so wonderful. The first time I heard it, I thought, you know, God, I don't know if I even have teeth to chew this with yet. So it took it a while. Anyway, from God's very beginning over in Genesis 1, we see that He meant for us each to find our own definition from the very beginning. In the beginning, God created, and I so love this, the heavens. When the word heavens is used in the scripture, it is always plural. Mm-hmm. Don't you love that? Mm-hmm. Wow. How could it be heavens? Where people look up at the sky and see clouds or stars at night. They go, well, there's the sky. There's clouds. And they call that heaven. Anyway, the second verse of Genesis says, and the earth became and was without form and void. It forgot the earthy part. As we fall to the earth as sons, so to speak. O Lucifer, how didst thou fall from heaven, thy light bearer? It's the same thing as Adam. It's the very same thing as Adam. There had to be a descent into an ego person to understand who God was, and God wanted fellowship. I'm thinking like J. Preston Eby taught. He said there are kingdoms that we have forgotten about, don't know about, all over the universe that God is fellowshipping. Don't you love that? Huh. Gives you a little broader perspective. I mean, we can't walk around like this. Anyway, it says the earth forgot. Hello. Did we forget that we are sent as a son, that we fell, that we descended? Did we forget that? We made a bargain with divinity wherever we were in our universe, wherever we were in the heart of the Father. Hey, we're going. I mean, I know I was standing on tiptoe saying, send me. I'm ready. Send me. Just like every one of you. You chose this. That makes you so, like Speed said, you are so special. Because you get to choose. Don't that give you a freedom to think? God said, okay, boys, let's look at all of the kingdoms, all that's going to happen. I'm going to tell you everything that's going to be in your life, and you just choose. I'm going to give you highlights. He's not going to tell every little picky thing, no. But I'm going to give you some highlights I'm sending you. And it's up to you. Man. However, I believe we're connected to Him as we want to be. Mm-hmm. We get to choose that. How much of a relationship do you want? Well, if you get married, you lay down a lot of things. You married folks will know about that, don't you? I've married a husband that every time I cook the meat, he turns it over and looks at it. Karen had that kind of husband to make sure it didn't burn on the other side. Yes, oh God. You know, this, all these silly things. But anyway, it says the not the earth was, the word there was, became. I promise you, just a little bit of studying would get you out of King James box.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It will, just a little studying. The earth became without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, the face of the understanding. If you go to a different people, so talk with people every day, just talking to them a minute, you'll find out how much understanding they got by their conversation with you. Mm-hmm. And me, I'm always wanting to get the Windex out and saying, oh, good grief. And sometimes it's blinders, but I don't do that. But I would like to. Okay, Father was not happy about this because the scripture says, and the Spirit of God moved above the waters. The scripture says He just hovered over those waters of void and darkness. Can you remember your very beginning of life? don't mean just your spiritual life when you came aware of spiritual things, but just as a little girl or a little boy. And I can remember being delighted with my little world. You know, I grew up kind of on a farm and had loving parents in a way, grandparents for sure, learning about little animals and thinking, man, I couldn't have been born anywhere else but in South Alabama. Took me a long time to understand there was an East Tennessee and a God bless Texas. You know, I lived in my world. Don't you think that's wonderful? Wonderful that Father gives that to each person, their experience. Their experience. As I was listening to one of the CDs we made, Johnny had spoken at the first part about how confined we are in religion, so to speak. And it would not allow us to give ourselves definition. And to me, that's what God does. He gives us a name. We understand we have a name, a personality, or character that goes along with that name that somewhat fits. And then he's so good, he wants to give me an adjective, definition to that name. Don't you love it? And then that verb that shows action, don't you like it? You can actually activate that with a little motion or emotion. And then he defines the action thing. I just see that beautifully in our lives, how it's such a rolling, growing thing that we can get our head around. So the Spirit of God moves upon the face of each of us. And the very first thing he says in our beginning, every person, let there be light.
Yes.
Let there be light. Lighten up this thing so they can see. Don't use Johnny's dimmer switch. Turn up the lights and just let it go. And so the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters and said, let there be light. And light came into view. I don't think he allowed it to come in view to blind the person, but slowly the light came into view, just like the dawn of the day, because he loves each person. Because if you had never seen before and the light hit you, it might blind you. Anyway, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Don't you love that? And then God said, okay, it's good to have light, but it's also good to have darkness. So he made a division between the light and the darkness. And God called the light day. We are children of the day. Hey, Beverly.
Hello.
I prayed you would come. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
We miss you when you don't make it. And you are fine. He called the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were our very first day. And this is not just naturally. This is very spiritual. A young babe, a Christian, you can pick them out. They're usually just so full of happiness and joy and haven't been tried by much yet, because they're just so, oh man, they're so in love with Jesus Christ. Anyway, then God said, I'm going to give you some definition. Verse 6. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. When you study the word firmament, there's about 8 definitions that cause it to really grow and expand. It actually means to pound out the earth where you are, or your life, where you walk, how you live, with passion. It says with great passion. So in your moving into this realm, which will be the second day, you're able to find your own desire and take it to a deeper level. What do I really want here? And you find out you want a lot of stuff. Great desires. So, God made the firmament, and that's you, recognizing your godhood, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called that firmament that he pounded out first, heavens, plural. All of you have heavenly paths, homes, places in you that I could live in. Every man's got heavenly things. Now, every man is not awakened yet, but that's our job. That's our job. If there's somebody in our space, how much heaven can you give them? Now, the carnal mind wants to say, well, how much hell can I give them? But please, that is not our duty. That's going to come whether you're there or not. John just went on a trip. He left me. All right. God called the firmament heaven. It's pounded out with passion, with God's own passion, and you pound you out somewhere to be lifted up, even as a little child. It starts out with, oh, mama, I want a cookie. Or we used to, because I was raised in South Alabama, suck sugar cane. Daddy'd cut me down a stalk of sugar cane and peel it, and he'd cut it all up. Mother put it in a bowl, and we sucked sugar cane as much as we could get it when it was in season. And that was a heaven to me as a child. His heaven was baseball. If he could get to the baseball field, that was his heaven. At speed, I guess his work in the farm. I don't know what his pleasures was, but his mama fixed scrumptious meals, you know. And I remember Karen telling me, I'm going to tell you, she went to high school to treat herself. She would get a big thing of root beer and a gallon of vanilla ice cream and go home and eat it all. I said, how did you do that? I mean, how do you eat a gallon of ice cream? Anyway, it's just how our heavens are. And I keep looking at David and thinking he and Speed love to hunt, fish, do all that kind of stuff. So that's heaven. Morgan was in heaven as a child reading a book. There was some time I looked at him, he had a book. You know, I was going, thank God for somebody that can read in my house. And I don't remember all of Terry's little funny things. She was a daddy's girl, so she liked to be with him. And little blonde-headed pretty thing. Anyway, It says, and God called that firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning are the second day. So do you see the progress and growth from your first day of light to your second day? He's showing you more every day. We're learning more every day. It's not ever going to stop. Verse 9, God said, he's going to deal with where we are now. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear, something that you can put your feet on. Because until then, you're really not ready to find your footing. To me, it reminds me of Abraham having been raised under idols. His father, Terah, was a big idol worshiper that served a goddess of the moon called Nana. So he had a lot of wrong teaching. And God said to him, and this had to be born out of a relationship one night, Abraham, you get up out of this country, get away from everything that you know, to a place I have prepared for you. I want you to go into Canaan. Well, for a Mesopotamian ruler of whatever he was, some sort of ruler, he had to have had a relationship and a trustworthiness in what he was hearing beyond what he was being taught. That had never happened, none of us, right? Over and over. To leave. He said, go to the land and I will show you. And everywhere you put something under your foot, it's yours. I love that. Mm-hmm. If I put it under my understanding and stand, it's mine.
Yes.
And nobody can take that away from each other. That makes God so personal to each person because it's yours. I mean, there are treasures in me. Nobody can take them. There's just no way.
I was thinking a while ago when you said something about having streets of gold or something. To me, that's thought paths that you reach and attain that gold for you, because that you can then overcome or walk above them or stand above them.
Absolutely, Johnny. Absolutely. Divine direction. It's beautiful. So anyway, you know the story about Abraham. And if you don't read it, it's real simple. I mean, I don't mean to talk down to anybody. I'm a part of it too. But you kind of need to remind yourself sometimes. So reading the scripture will help you. I would prefer that you read the Gnostics first, because they do not leave out things that our King James does. And God called the dry land earth, something we could stand on, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and it was good. And God said, let the earth, that's natural and spiritual earth, bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and fruit yielding fruit, fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. Did you listen to him sing the rose? Did you listen to him sing the rose? It says, when the person's discouraged and can't hear, dance, or approve of anything, just remember, in the winter, far beneath the frozen earth, lies a seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes a rose. Hallelujah. Amen. We have planted seed in each other, and it's planted in us that can embrace everything around us. And it produces that beautiful rose. Yes, the seed is within itself. And let's see, where did I get to? And the earth brought forth grass, herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree-yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God said, this is good. At the end of every day, if you can't get there, we should be saying, it was good today, Father. It was good today, Father. If you get around Sue, she'll tell you that. It's a good day, no matter what. I'm going, please, God, move her in my house to remind me to remind me that it is good. It is good. But listen, here he goes all the way back to the first day and gives it definition. The first and the fourth day are exactly alike. He just gives us enough information to either live by or hang ourselves, whichever we choose. He'll give you a rope and a lot of it. And you can make a noose out of it, or you can use it to wear your legs out if they need it, or make something constructive. God said, verse 14, let there be lights, and he tells you every reason why they need to be there, in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. That word signs gets bigger and bigger and bigger as you use it. It's the very same word as ensign, that when every tribe of Israel marched, they marched with the sign, the ensign of their father's house. And it was exactly like the zodiac. Doesn't that marry your heavens and earth? It does mine. Hey, it was inscribed in the heavens a long time before it manifest here. It's just now manifesting fast, which is wonderful, because we live in the age of Christ. The age of Aquarius is bringing all these things to our remembrance, because it's the Holy Spirit's age. It's the age of Holy Ghost. Everything is holy now. Even though it may look rough, there's reasons for every little thing knitting together. So he says, they're given for signs and seasons. Easy. Easy, the seasons. To me, it cannot be denied. We have the north. Seasonally speaking, when the wind blows out of the north, we find more heavy coverings to put on. When it blows out of the east, it speaks of Eastern understanding, or out of the east there comes tidings that troubles us sometimes, because the Eastern religions are so mixing in with where we are. Some of it's good, and some of it, for me, is the wrong source. So we get to decide. However, this brings the spirit of love out of Judah. But out of the south, now who doesn't want the south wind to blow? Yeah, I can't wait for summertime, get my shorts on, go to the lake. not me. I cover up head and toes. I don't want anybody to see all my sags. Anyway, but we love the south wind to blow out of the desires. He gives us desires of our heart. So we have the emotions from the east. We have judgments over here out of the north. You're thinking going along real good, and somebody either says something about an issue about you or somebody else. North wind blows in to see if it can't destroy it or tear it up.
Oh, yeah.
Judgments are over here. And, of course, your desires. But back here, we come, run into what we call the wheel, the west wind. Oh, the wayward wind. Is it a western wind? Is that the name of that song? But the west always spoke of God. Where was the holiest place of all? Right there on the west is where that little tent was set. Has to do with the will of man. And the will of man is four-party, I promise you. It is a stubborn thing. But God deals with us all and breaks that. And I want to teach you on that just a second because I think we need to see it. John 1:13. And we're given beautiful pictures of this. I've said it fast before, but John 1:13 says it. Let's start with verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. We're in the world, and we had something to say about it, but there's part of the world that don't know who we are. Or they are. Of course, I think this is speaking of Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He didn't come with pomp and circumstance or great riches. He was just Jesus. Could anything good come out of Nazareth? Didn't they say that about Jesus Christ? How could that possibly be? But as many as receive him, and I've listened too much spiritual stuff this morning because I'm getting this confused with the tape, but as many as received him, in one of the tapes, Johnny was talking before the tape or during the tape saying, you talk about the flow. Of course there's a flow. There's a flow in every meeting we have. All of us got here so light-hearted this morning. I thought, well, we'll all be nitwits today. We'll just be happy. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to understand they are sons of God. Ah, not a beautiful thing. I mean, it makes you responsible for who you are. That power was comes right along with our manifestation, everything that we are. It's ours. Even to them that believe on his character. The word name is never just name. Not ever. I wish we could find the language that they couldn't find to give it to people, because the spoken word is so powerful. What we speak to each other, how we affect. So they believed in his divine character. And I don't mean to diss Jesus ever, But that divine character was there before he came as a manifested man, before Abraham was I am. God set everything in place ahead of time. I'm going before you, he said. Hey, didn't he? Was it Peter he told? I go before you to prepare a place in my Father's house. There are multitudes of mansions. How do I know that? Because I'm looking at every one of them, a bunch of them right here. You are the house. You are the house of divinity. To me, that's more, I can't even, it's unspeakable and full of glory. I'll get by with that, won't I? Okay, verse 13. He gives all these kinds power, which were born not of blood, me saying, I have the O'Neill lineage, and it would really benefit me to claim it. I was an O'Neill before I married. You did see the horse race yesterday, didn't you? The O'Neill company owned it. Oh my God. Hello, I'm an O'Neill. I'm just not from Ireland, and I'm not a Roman Catholic. But anyway, it doesn't mean because you were born of any certain lineage or blood, nor of the will of something just fleshy. I'm going to have a baby. I'm just saying, we're going to have kids. Don't care nothing about God and lineages, and we are going to do it. Well, my Lord, people do it all the time. Of course they can do that. They get together in a frenzy. The hormones work. They spend the night, and a baby forms, but it's not born again. It just gets born into a dark and dying world if one of the parents don't become a parent and change. Okay. Nor just the will of man. So there you have three wills right there. But of God. The will of God, being born of the will of God. And that's not a natural, that's a spiritual thing. Being born of his will, I promise you. We'll go to the scripture, because somebody said, Connie, you could say it 20 times or they get it. I bet I've said it lots more than 20 times, but y'all help me that's been around me and know it and set me right if I need it. I can dig it. Ezekiel. It is in my Bible. Ezekiel talks about the wheel. All he's doing is showing us a picture of this very tabernacle right here, this wheel. All he's doing is showing us the divine feminine. He says, I'm just going to hurry through this, I think. Ezekiel says, I looked and behold, a great whirlwind was coming out of the north. The north is your darkened intellect. Oh, if you could just know that. I mean, let spirit will always slide off of your intellect and cover your whole being. It's different from intellect. Spirit is different from intellect. Write that down. Put it in your pipe and smoke it and go to the bank with it. It'll reap you dividends. Anyway, out of the north, there was a great cloud of witnesses, hello, people that's gone on before us in our ancestry that have laid the foundation for us with blood, our country. If I could ever get my husband to share what he feels about our country, how it was bought with blood, freedom is what they wanted from any religious, especially from the Church of England. They wanted freedom, and God has wrought that. Don't you know it? It's a done deal. We're free. Beautiful. The great cloud of witnesses that went ahead of me, I'm so thankful. Thankful for those that paved the way. They went along and pulled up weeds, tore up ground, laid paved places that I could put my foot on. So it wasn't done by just us. There had to be preparers in every life. In nations, in our nation that is so beautifully decorated with the red, white, and blue, there's not another nation like it. Do you hear me? Not another nation like this great United States. I am thankful to have been born an American. Thankful. Anyway, I sure didn't mean to go there. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, which is gold, out of the midst of the fire. But out of the fiery test and trials and whatever Ezekiel was seeing in his day, he could only go so far. He was not where you are, Morgan. He was not where you are, Grandbrain. He was not where you are, Trish. He was not where you are. He had to interpret this out of his understanding. So a lot of it is dark, but we can light up his life. You know Debbie Boone, don't you? You light up my life. Jesus Christ, you light up my life, and you keep me lit. Oh, boy, that sounds good. Just have another one. Did y'all watch the race yesterday? Well, I told Morgan, he come upstairs. I said, sounds like Rachel saying to Joseph, and there will be another. She said, oh, well, we can have another. I thought, well, interpret it however you want to. But Rudy Jones interprets natural events as very spiritual. And I'm going, hello, bring on Benjamin. Because when she had Joseph, she said, there's going to be another one. There will be another son. And did she have Benjamin? Oh, she did. Anyway, let me get on down further. Yeah. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And I want to mention that again. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, which speaks of going through God's judgments, not your judgment of someone. Right. Our own personal judgments, you need to be careful to get away from judgment and make sure it's discernment. It's a judgment and discernment are completely different. Because your judgment, the ego will always come out on top. Discernment won't cut you in its lack. So that's how you know the difference. Anyway, and they had the hands of a man under their wings. Just telling you it's a man. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined. You are the body of Christ, fitly joined together. It doesn't mean that this hip is out of joint, and that leg's out of joint, and this is out of joint. It says fitly. where we can function as a walking body, not something that's lame. The wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. Why? Because Jesus Christ set his face like a flint. Yeah, we got a direction we're going in, and we're going to do that. He was going to go to Jerusalem on Passover, and he knew that, but he didn't know which one. I believe that. I think he knew he would die at the Jewish Passover because he was the incarnate Lamb of God that had to be sacrificed at that time. Okay. They turned not when they went. Everyone went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, please learn these. There was the face of a man that would be your southern wall. Right here, Reuben. The camp of Reuben is the face of a man, even in the stars. And who can desire more than man? Ask yourself that question. No creature. They just cannot. It cannot be done. So that's out of the desires, the face of a man. The face of a lion. That speaks of the emotions, because the lion, in his strong emotion, although he's the most amiable father, I know I've taught this 1,000 times because I studied him, he has the lion's emotion, which is so important for us to see. The first emotion is love. And you see that in the 12th age. Yet, the scripture says, you go get him and send him first. I thought, God, you're reaching down through 12 ages to send something first. Send Judah first. This is Judah. Send the love in front of you. Let love be your emotional driver. And you cannot let love be your emotional driver if you do not feel it. You have to feel it. I wouldn't go if I couldn't go in the power of love to talk to someone. Because then it's just wasted. They don't hear you no how. It's like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Anyway, send Judah first. So he's on the right side over here. And they four also had the face of an ox on the west, which bespeaks what we see in Taurus. Here you are. Now, in the myth, is it in the myth and in the spiritual charts? There's always a bull. The mythological bull is fierce looking, like he's gonna, you know, stick his horns in you, and mean looking. Wendy drew him sweet, or my how she would have seen an ox in her life. But the first ox that we see in scripture are raging bulls. The scripture calls them untamed ox. So do you see this changing already?
Well, in mythology, the kingdom of Minos is very prevalent. The reason for that is that, according to myth, the king He had an exceptionally beautiful and well-bred bull that had been given to him by the gods to be used as a sacrifice. Well, he did not do that. He substituted a different bull.
Uh-oh.
So, karma being what it is, his wife was somehow seduced by the bull. And that union created the Minotaur.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes.
So because he did not do what he was supposed to do, that happened. And eventually it caused, in mythology, that's where the Greeks would have to send their youths to them every 7 years.
Okay, what did the Minotaur look like, Morgan?
Had the head of a bull and body of a man.
Well, I don't see those anywhere, and I didn't know the myth, so I couldn't tell that part. But
so there's a deeper understanding there that when you're given the proper sacrifice, you need to use the proper sacrifice.
Absolutely.
To substitute something else, because in a series or a chain of events, that created or allowed Theseus, because whenever there's one opposing force, there's an equal or opposite one.
Same things Karen said.
So enabled Theseus to put an end to that, slay the Minotaur, and the kingdom of Minos went out of history after that.
Good. We needed that info because that will paint a picture for us just as we keep it attached to that spiritual astrology.
His selfishness caused the downfall of the entire kingdom.
Wow.
And look, my daddy was very... He used to call me bullheaded all the time.
I'm sure they got passed from many languages. Yes. My mother used to say to me, butt it out, Connie, when I wasn't capitulating, I guess. Just butt it out. She was soft-spoken. She never yelled at us, but she needed to. Anyway, so...
That occurred during the age of Taurus, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's even more interesting.
That's why I brought it up.
And that's why Orion is there to rescue, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is Orion.
Yeah.
And the shepherd holding the sacrifices. Beautiful. And this river in this age... It's called the Judge. Oh, how that fits together. Okay. We've seen the raging bull, or ox, and the ox outside the gate that was a clean sacrifice because he had been tamed. Only thing, if you study in Deuteronomy, in the law, it will tell you what had to be done to these animals outside the gate. And the ox was skinned. I mean, there was nothing that resembled an ox that got inside that gate. I mean, it was, where's the beef? It was coming to the table.
Looked a little humble.
Yeah, that had a different face. So then over in the Revelations, when it's speaking of this same wheel, or the four beasts, well, full of eyes before and behind. Oh, my God, don't we have them? We have eyes for the future and eyes behind us. My kids used to say, you and Daddy got eyes in your head, back of your head, because we caught them and everything. Well, many things. Anyway, it says the first beast is like a lion. But listen, the second beast is not like an ox or a raging bull. It has become a calf. Okay, you've ever lived on a farm or been around calves, they are precious. They are not bullheaded. They haven't learned to do that yet. They'll just let you pet them and get close to them and I'd hold them around the neck. I loved a white-faced calf. And Granddaddy had a bunch of them. But now that bull that he had out there, I didn't come nigh that bull's dwelling. Because he'd have killed me if he could have. Do you see the difference in the nature? That when the will is broken, because the calf will just bow the knee, get down on his knees and waller with you. But get trying to get a bull to do that, you have to break his leg. Okay, the third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast, which is the intellect, is now a flying eagle. An eagle was over the northern tribe of Dan because Dan would not accept the serpent that God told him he wanted him to be. He was too high-minded. I'm not accepting the serpent. So they let him carry the eagle in the air, and the dang thing can be a serpent hanging up there in your air too, because it's arrogant. It knows better than anybody else. You can't tell me. So that's serpentine. He's flying around and crawling around at the same time. Okay, Ezekiel 10. I've taught this so many times. Oh my goodness, I hope my people are not sick. Well, all of you, I count my people. Let's see if I can find it. It's chapter 10 where Ezekiel says, "Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them as it was a sapphire stone." Remember what the body of Christ looks like, the body of heaven in its clearness. Over in the Exodus, it calls us a sapphire stone. Blue. Blue is always good in your dreams. Blue is always good in your dreams. Okay, let's skip down because for time's sake. Says exactly the same thing that Ezekiel 1 says, except let's see. Let me skip a little bit though. To the 10th verse. "And as for their appearances, they four had one likeness." That means it lives inside of one person. Each person has got this four-sided affair going on. As if the wheel had been in the midst of a wheel, remembering that we've begun to draw this with spirit like a sphere, soul more in the middle, and then that physical small. When I had all of my wheels, and that's something God showed me, and I never see that from anybody. So it was mine. Laying out here one Sunday, Rokas come down here and he took every one of my charts and he'd flip, flip, flip my charts and look at them and talk to me, you know, about them. But anyway, as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. And when they went up on their four sides. It was a revolving thing. But they turned not when they, you know, they turned, but going straight at the same time. Okay. And their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. This reading. "As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O you wheel. And every one of them had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. So we've had the raging ox, the tame ox, the calf, and now we have a cherub which has no will of its own. It's a heavenly will. Oh, I come to do only your will, Father. Do you see how God breaks it down? And they, the second face was the face of a man, the third face of a lion, and the fourth face of an eagle. This is all over in studying, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have four different faces there. And there's all kinds of schools of thought on that, so you have to choose your own. One will say Matthew was the lion, and one will say Mark was the lion. It's according to what your upbringing was and your culture, especially your religious holdings, want to interpret to you. Anyway, I think St. John had the face of a man because his gospel was completely different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Completely different. He had a more open, close relationship with Jesus Christ. I hadn't got very far. Don't really know where to go. Did I start out with the heavens are declaring the glory of God? Mm-hmm. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Okay. The word declare is a really important word, and it's one of those that you study it and you can't chew it. It gets so big. It just keeps growing and expanding. The word to declare is to score with a mark as a tally or a record, to inscribe. Carolyn called me the other morning. She put Rokas on the line, and I heard myself prophesying. I am not a prophet, as you know. And I could feel that was having a low day. He had torn a bathroom apart, all the walls out, and Carolyn was going, I need my bathroom. Anyway, and he was fixing and painting, and all you people, men, that know all about all that junk, and the wife needing a tub. Anyway, when he began to talk to me, it just came out of me. The Father has made your tongue the tongue of a ready writer that inscribes beautiful pictures on the heart of man. And he wept, and I wept. We need to hear that stuff sometime. Tell me some good stuff. Tell me some good stuff. I don't mean we live there walking, hunting a prophecy all the time, because that's ridiculous. But to me, that's one of those beautiful things born out of a relationship of give and take. I've given, and he's going to give back. He gives back. You cannot put your silver in, and he will not repay you. He will repay you a million times over. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your heart. I guess money helps. We all know that. Kind of like to eat, but it's not primary. It's like, to me, in this message, it's not about numbers. It's not about money. It's about relationship. I want a relationship with the thing. I guess I've said enough. I don't remember. I didn't think I would minister on one bit of this. And I hardly did. Bye, honey. I love you. We're not going to be much longer unless some of you have something you want to talk about a little bit. I certainly am ready. What got me into this was our own Annie Oakley. She was shooting her gun, teaching me, teaching me. That is so beautiful that God puts us among where we need to be to stretch. And she has been a teacher, so she can give us some, tweak us if where she needs to. You hear what I'm saying? And then John, he calls me the space cadet, I think, and he is. But he certainly got an expanded idea. And all of us, each one of us has such a vital role to play wherever we are. So it's not about numbers. It's not about money. It's about love and just being growing, just growing. I lived on the backside of the desert in religion for probably about 40 years. Not until Morgan, until I was pregnant with Morgan. And God did a change right there. I mean, he brought a screeching halt to anything, any law I had known. It changed. Because of out of an experience, it has changed. And God turned, took him 40 acres, but he turned his rig around. We got it going right in a different direction. He puts you where you need to be with people. David and Trish hear that. You're their light to tell them in your ministry, whatever that is or becomes, you are the only real light they see. God. I know speed has saved a multitude at his work from going headlong into some kind of hell by just talking to him every day, just normal talk. He wasn't standing up preaching or teaching like I do sometimes. It's our life together. We talk on the phone. We have conference calls. We have moments. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And God makes a flow out of all of that. Wow. I'm amazed. Thank you for listening to me. My Bible just broke.
Say something.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, this morning I was studying for some reason chakras. And I know Francis has taught on that.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure I must have heard this somewhere, but chakra means wheel. Chakra means wheel.
I've never heard that. That's wonderful. It does.
From the Sanskrit, it comes. It's wheel.
Wow.
And so I wrote this down this morning. Interesting. It's a wheel of energy constantly revolving. So each chakra is a wheel of energy constantly revolving. And the lower the chakra, like the root chakra, the lower the speed of the wheel. The highest, the crown chakra has the highest speed. And I thought that was interesting because we are north, west, east, and south.
Yes.
And we have these wheels of energy, wheel within a wheel. We have this wheel out.
It's so true.
Outside. And then we have these chakras, those wheels constantly revolving within us. Anyway.
Absolutely. It's beautiful.
So God puts us all together in these words. I mean, this is amazing.
Well, I know I learned about the body, which direction it was, being married to Johnny, because he's a switch hitter when he played baseball. And I said, how come you bat with that hand? He said, that's called a southpaw when you bat left-handed. And the half time, I don't know my right from the left. Anyway, I have to think about it. I do right with this hand. So.
That makes me feel better.
Thank you. I'm telling you, I still do that. But so I know that that is my south. I also know that has a lot to do with us bringing the 12th age into being. It has to do with putting the emotions in your footwork under your feet. that's another reason to marry and understand the star pictures, because then you know your personality. It defines you a little. It doesn't pigeonhole you. It just gives you your accents and your weaknesses and your good things, your good points. Kind of lets you know where you're going today.
Your potential is what I
Yes, mean. Absolutely. I like that word better. Your potential. So no wonder the church doesn't, or the religious system does not want you to deal with astrology. You would be smarter than them. That's just all it is good. Smarter than them, something that they're hunting for. And I don't know if you heard Francis tell about reading out of the book of Jasher. And what was it? Tell it, Francis, because I won't know, remember the details about Benjamin. Finding Joseph.
When 11 sons went into Egypt to get corn, and Joseph had been made a ruler, when they brought Benjamin before him, he took him aside, you know, after he counseled, talked to him a while, took Benjamin aside and brought out his star charts. And he said, ask him if he knew the knowledge of that, and Benjamin said, yes, my father's taught me that knowledge. And so
he was still disguised at this point.
Joseph was still, yes,
he was still disguised, so Benjamin did not know it was his brother.
And of course Joseph, the brothers had told Joseph about his the brother that they had sold. And so anyway, Joseph said to Benjamin in private, he laid out the charts and he said, you say you feel your brother was sold into Egypt, find him. Where is he? And Joseph, it just says, I don't understand this, except, you know, the skies are cut into four quarters. Anyway, Benjamin divided the city of Egypt by those charts into four quarters, and he looked into Joseph's face and said, I perceive by this that my brother stands before me.
He found his brother by the charts. So that's, it's, I don't mean go look at a chart, look for somebody. I don't. But understand who you are.
I don't know what it did for me just then, but some kind of reality happened up there for me. And I don't understand it yet, but it'll come to me later.
Well, you know, Joseph had a dream when he was a young man back with his older brothers that the sun, moon, and stars bowed down to him. And I don't know it, but I know that is represented in our zodiac. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what Benjamin saw, and that's intuitive. I don't know.
Yes. Joseph was at the beginning of a kind of history as we know it, right, son?
Well, it depends on who you ask, I guess.
Well,
biblical history, certainly.
Well, yeah, we're to use biblical history because I believe we are a type of every one of these sons. That's why I always connect the sun sign with the tribe. If you don't do that, you're dead in the water. It has to be in the earth, or there's no marriage. There's no joining. There's no way for anything to reproduce. If you keep everything there and everything else here, how in the world would you have divine relationship? I'm trying to keep it clean here. Because I listened to my tape and went, oh my God. Please don't let me say names.